I'd like to share something with you this morning. You know, there are places in the Bible that we maybe think we start to understand, and then we realize, you know what, I have only scratched the surface. There is so much more to this subject than I have ever known, and I am thankful for that. So today I would like to just share with you just the surface, and then hopefully we go home and we all dig. I'd like to talk to you today about the power in praise. You know, I'm coming to realize I have only scratched the surface. Because I look at the difference, in my mind anyhow, between thanks and praise. And to me, thanks is what I do. That's what Mom and Dad taught me from the beginning whenever I sit down to eat, as I give thanks. Because it's for the things that God has given me. I have this food in front of me. I thank you for what you have given me. To me, I see a little fine line difference between that and praise. Praise is not really for what He's given me. It's for who He is. Totally separated from I praise you because you did this for me today. No, I praise Him because of who He is. And you know, we can start to scratch the surface a little bit when we look at Genesis 1. Who He is, He just spoke. And all that we see with nature, with the world, the sun and the moon and the stars, and you know, they're still finding things out there. And God spoke it all into existence. That's where I start having the ability to praise Him. Because now I start to understand a little bit more of who He is. I'd like to start with a verse in Psalms. It's 107. And in my Bible, it didn't say that there was a, who didn't know who the author of that chapter was. But in the 8th verse, and we'll find also that several times in this chapter, this is what it says. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And I almost look at that with the author being unknown of God Himself speaking. I just wish that people would see my goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. You remember the time when Jesus was entering the city and people were sending up praises for who He was. And you remember the leaders said, you need to tell them to quiet it down. And Jesus said, if I did, the stones would cry out. And I've often thought about that. Have you ever had rocks to witness to you of the majesty of God? Go out to Colorado sometime and go up on top of the mountain and just look out. It's almost like I'm almost in heaven. We bought a place. We went out to Colorado a few years ago, and I loved it so much. I said, I need a place out here. This is heaven out here. So I happened to talk to somebody down at the bottom of the mountain, and he said, you know what? I'm a real estate man. Just happened to be that I just got a listing today of 6 acres up on top of this mountain here for $8,500. I said, let me see it. I bought that 6 acres, a little piece of heaven. Next year, I took a travel trailer out there, had me a little piece of heaven up on top. But there's something that it was at 11,200 feet. There's something that you don't have at 11,200 feet. And that's why it was probably sold so cheap. You don't have oxygen up there. And he said, if you'll stay for 3 weeks, you'll get used to it. I said, I don't have that much vacation. So, but I realized just when the short time I had it, I sold it and I was glad to get rid of it because we had headaches from the time we got there till the time we left. But you know, the short time I did have it, I would get up on top of that mountain and look out over the world. And you know what? If I would let my mind not be cluttered with so many things, I could see God. I could praise God just in the things that He created for me to be able to do it. Have you ever had a time where you say, well, what would I praise the Lord for? Let me give you a verse. And, or who should praise the Lord? You have any verses that you think of who should praise the Lord? I looked at the very last verse in Psalms. I tried yesterday to count up how many verses there are in the book of Psalms that talk about praise, and I finally gave it up. I needed it to count it for me because it's just loaded through there. And when I looked at this last chapter in the book of Psalms, this 150th chapter reminds me of going out to the firework displays on July the 4th. You'll see one go off, and oh, that's pretty, and then here's another one. But then they have what they call the grand finale. It's when everything, they just shoot it all off at the same time, and it's just, you're awestruck. That's what this 150th chapter does to me. All the places through Psalms that said about praise, and now he's ending it up. And it's like, I'm going to try in 6 verses to just pack this thing as full as I can. And it says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent goodness. Then the next few verses he tries, let's get out some musical instruments and see if we can do it. And then he ends it with, okay, it's kind of like, put all that aside. Now let everything that hath breath, if in the next 30 seconds you need to pull in some air, you're one of those candidates. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then there's another one over in Psalms 117. Here's who needs to praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever, and for these things praise ye the Lord. And then there's another reason for us to give praise. If we look over in Psalms 139, and in the 14th verse, here's a place if we would just stop sometimes. And, you know, sometimes it's real good for us to. The world is spinning. This thing's all, life is spinning fast nowadays. Where I am crowded in my mind with so many things that I need to be doing this next week. Sometimes it would be good for me to just stop, unclutter my mind, and take a look at some of the basic things. This one says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I will praise thee because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. When you just start thinking about some of the things that when God created man, some of the things that started happening in our body at that time, the little muscle called a heart that started beating and continues to beat for some people for 110 years. I think the oldest person recently, 114 years or something. And God just started it going. And that muscle continues to work. Ability to speed up and slow down as you get exercise or not. Those kind of things needs to, instead of it just comes and goes and I don't think much about it. You know, that needs to be an area that I praise the Lord for. You know, there's a lot of things we take for granted until that part of my health is gone. And then I realize, wow, God really did something when he put all those things in place. You ever stood up and got dizzy and you just start staggering around? What if your life continued that way? You know what? We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Equilibrium. The ability to balance. Just when everything's going well, we don't even think about it. But it's part of the things that God has done for mankind. There is another definition to praise, to magnify. And so often in our human thinking, magnify means I need to get out, there's something real small and I need to make it bigger. So I'll get a magnifying glass and I'll take a look at it. Folks, that's not the way this one is. To be able to magnify the Lord is the other way around. I have a capacity in my mind to be able to magnify something. You know what? Sometimes I will have to discard some things that are in my mind to be able to give room to magnify something else. You remember Mary, after she had been visited, when the shepherds came and they told about what they had just seen, it said she pondered some things in her heart. She had also just been visited. And when that visit had ended, She said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Her capacity to understand who God was getting larger. And I find that for myself, I need that too. Because I tell you, sometimes we will get our mind just cluttered with the things of this life. And I need to give some room to magnify who God is. And really even who He is up against the problems that I'm facing. Remember the song that says, when compared to God, everything is small. That is when I have magnified Him to where He is who He really is. There is a verse I'd like to go to in Psalm 69. And I think sometimes these are really reminders to me also, for all of us, to realize that we need to praise the Lord. We need to magnify Him in our lives. 30th verse of 69th chapter of Psalms. I will praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify Him with thanksgiving. Not making Him any bigger than He is, but I'm given more room in my mind to be able to realize how big He really is. It says, this will please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hooves. So this praising the Lord does something more than just to me. It does something to God. Whenever I, from my heart, go to Him, and I now have more capacity to be able to recognize who God is. There's another place. To be able to really recognize and praise God for who He is, there's something else that's got to be diminished, and that is who I am. When I really recognize who I am, and folks, we're living in a time where man is to be exalted. You have the ability to go out and do whatever you want to do. The world is at your grasp if you will go after it. Only if the God of heaven allows that. And here is a verse that is a reminder to me. I'd like to go to Psalms 100. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. 100th chapter of Psalms. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. That sounds like such a simple little verse. But you know what? The devil would like to, Satan would like to come along in our lives and push us up. You are somebody. Folks, you know what? The very next breath that I breathe will only be because it came from God. And if I will realize that, now my capacity where I'm using my mind to lift myself up, I diminish that, and I got more room now for recognizing who God is and praising Him for who He is. To every man that is among you, Romans 12 and 3, don't think more highly than I ought to think. Well, you know, that verse right there can kind of leave it open. Well, I think pretty highly. It says don't think more highly than you ought to. You know what, one thing that would help us all as humans is to go way back to where we came from. You know, surely God could have used some material that was a better quality than dust, but that's where we came from. From dust thou art, and back to dust you're going to return. So why would I ever allow my mind to get filled with who I am or what I can do on my own? And what we really want is, God sometimes will bring us down to a place where, take us through a little class. He did it before. He took a man, sometimes we enter the class our own self. But this man didn't choose to enter the class. God entered it for him. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had a time in his life where he was lifted up of who he was. Out there on it, looking out over what he had and said, is not this great Babylon that I have been able to make by my own power. You know, we may not say that. I may not say that out loud. But you know what? The times when things are going well, if we're not careful, some of my capacity will be, wow, look how things have really started going well for me. I need to watch that right there, because the Lord might be about to put me through a class. Because when Nebuchadnezzar went through the class and he came out on the other side, he was a different man. He said, now, there's some things that have changed with him. Let's look over there in Daniel, in the fourth chapter. And it's just in a very few verses. I think it's in the 30th verse that he says it's not this great Babylon. By the time he comes to the 37th verse, in seven verses, we don't know how many days pass between these seven verses. Well, we know it was 7 years anyhow. But a different man comes out on the other side. He's even got praises in his mouth for the Lord. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, I praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. A humility lesson for Nebuchadnezzar. I get the chance today to bypass that lesson if I will always realize how great God is, and the things that he has given me has definitely been given to me. Paul on Mars Hill, it's through him that we live. We have breath. We're able to move about. He recognized that. I need to be able to recognize that. Another thought in this magnifying and realizing who we magnify, I'd like to go to Job in the seventh chapter of Job. I don't know if I've ever had ever seen this verse before. 7 and 17. What is man that thou shouldst magnify him? Now this is Job talking to God. God, what is there about man that you would spend some time with him, that you would magnify him? But I would like for us for just a little bit to take this verse and look at it in another way. What is man that I would magnify him down here? You know, there are people that when it's sports season, they will have a person that is very high lifted up, can make millions of dollars because of who he is and able to throw a basketball through a hoop. What is man that thou shouldst magnify him? You know, in the entertainment industry, it is amazing to me how a person can get lifted up because they can sing. You know what can cause a person to be able to quit singing? Just one touch to his voice box, that when he thinks he's fitting to let loose with some sound, it's going to be something different. You know, God has a way to bring people down. I've often thought about the marvel of that. When you open your mouth, you know, some of us have that problem. When you open your mouth, you don't know where it's going until you can kind of work around and get in line with everybody else. But to be able to start out, what's fitting to come out of my voice is this note right here. You know, that really is a miracle from God. And when we can't do it, we realize how much of a blessing that is. But those kind of things, if I would start really looking at the basics in life, I start realizing, you know what? I need to praise God because it's everything comes from him. So there was another one. You remember, I look at some examples today of people who did not have to go through the humility lesson. They already were at the place where they knew who God was. King Hezekiah had the Assyrian army come up against him. You know, there's times when trouble comes my way and I have to say, you know what? I got to go take care of some other things. It's not good to live in that kind of place. Got to take care of some other things before I'm ready for this one. Hezekiah wasn't that way. When the Assyrian army came up against him, they wrote him a letter. And Hezekiah took that letter, and he already in his mind knew how great God was. He took that letter, and he laid it out before the Lord, because what he recognized was, you know what, this isn't my battle. This is the Lord's battle right here. In fact, some of you are mail carriers, so maybe on your bad day you may have dropped a letter off in the wrong mailbox and somebody carries it back and said, hey, this isn't my mail, this belongs to you. That's what Hezekiah did. Whoops, this is not my mail right here. This was really intended for God. So he took it and he laid it out on the altar, and he started the very first thing he did. He didn't say, Lord, there's 100,000 people just outside here going to destroy me if you don't help me. The first verses that he did was exalting who God is. No victory had come to him at that time. It wasn't thanksgiving that he was given. What he was doing was magnifying the Lord. You know what? Because we're going to do something with our mind. Have you had an emergency hit? And I mean, immediately your mind is filled with fear. You know, what do I do? What do I do? And hopefully when things start settling just a little bit, then you realize, you know what? Then I start praising God for what the ability that he has. This praise also is not that, well, I've never seen him work before, so I don't know if it will, but I'm going to praise him anyhow. No, praising can also come from, you know what, in the past, I have seen what this does. Praising is not coaxing him that, you know what, okay, now you owe me because I praised you. No, it also is going into the place where it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways you acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. What that praise is doing is, Lord, I see who you are. You are well able to take care of this problem that I'm faced with right here. And that's what Hezekiah did. The first verses of his prayer was, God, you that dwell between the cherubims, you are the God of all. Yes, Lord, I understand that they said that they have just mopped up all these countries that had a God, but they don't understand who this God is right here. And then he prayed, Lord, would you look down in mercy upon and help us? I believe to us today, that's important for me to learn, is we have times that come that all of a sudden we're filled with distress. What do we do about this situation that we're faced with today? Because it's my problem right here, right now. But immediately to be able to replace it with who God is. Praise coming from me of who he is. I still got the battle. Nothing has changed with the battle. But I just started replacing the capacity in my mind. I'm either going to be filled with what the battle is and how I cannot handle it, or start moving some of that aside and replace it with who God is, and he is well able to take care of it. There's another one that I would like to look at. This one, there is so much in it. This man had to make a decision of something large that has come into his life. He's just gotten the news of it, and he's got to be able to do something with it. It's in 2 Chronicles in the 20th chapter. News came to Jehoshaphat that he's got a battle on his hands. It's coming up soon. Second verse. There came some that told Jehoshaphat, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond this sea on this side Syria. Third verse. Jehoshaphat did the same thing that I would do. He feared. Immediately the thought of what's coming probably filled him with fear. But you know, we don't stay in that place. We do something with that fear. We have places in the scripture where there were other enemies coming against God's people. And they feared. And they did something with that fear. To some of them, it said they went back to Egypt and they hired them. Can I hire you to come fight for me? In fact, when Hezekiah got the letter, it told him, don't even think about trying to go down to Egypt to get you some help, because we're greater than they are too. Folks, you know what? When I replace all those thoughts of how I can take care of this problem, and I start realizing who God is, and he does things so much different than I could do them. Jehoshaphat feared, but here's what he did. He set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And he did the same thing that Hezekiah did. He started his prayer with exalting who God was. Not so much that God would get lifted up and recognize, yeah, I am that big. No, he was increasing the capacity in his mind. I'm replacing this fear that I have with a realization of how God can take care of this problem. And he starts out in the 6th verse and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not over all the kingdoms of heaven, and in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? You know, he's not really reminding God, so God would say, oh yeah, that's right, I am that way. No, He's reminding himself as he prays to God. It's a reminder to him. Come on, cast aside the fears now. God is well able to take care of your problems. Folks, we're not faced with these, but every one of us, if you're not faced with something today, just keep on drawing in air, because one of these days something will hit that the first thing that you feel is fear. And the next thing is what I do with it. And I hope that we can remember these stories right here. He feared. It's a natural thing to fear. But it's what I do with those fears. You know, fear can drive me to do things that I otherwise, just if I would have been able to stop and think about it, I wouldn't have gone in that direction. But what he did was he lifted up the name of the Lord, recognizing himself who God is and reminding God, this is who I see you to be. And then it goes on down in the 12th verse. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? We have no might against this great company. You know, he didn't say, I tell you what, Lord, I'm going to give you till Tuesday and then I'm fixing to hire me some folks. He says, we don't have any might against this great company. I don't have a backup plan. Lord, you are my plan. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. You know what? He's been magnifying the Lord in his mind to be able to do this. 13th verse, all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, with their wives, and with their children. After you have praised the Lord for who he is, and then you resign yourself that he do with you as he wants, I see then the next step. It's like the Lord said, I'm coming. They're going to be destroyed. They're willing to just wait on me. And he says, 17th verse, you'll not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. Now, you know what? This stand still business is almost worse than trying to find me a weapon to go do something with. I got to have some kind of action, even if it's going to cause me problems out in the future. You shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourself, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. Fear not. The very thing that they had trouble with at the very beginning, he's letting them know, you can go ahead and throw some more of that out now. Don't be afraid. Neither be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And then we look at what they did. You know, they go to bed that night and said, okay, we understand we're going to whip them. Get out your weapons. Let's see. Do we have enough to be able to do it? Nuh-uh. They're still just waiting on the Lord. So here's what they had done in the 21st verse. When he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers. Now, you know what? Fear has to be gone for you to be able to sing a note. For you to be able to make a sound that is recognizable. You ever have been so scared and then you try to sing? Nuh-uh, it won't work. But you know what? There was a confidence that had built in those people at that time that it was like, we're going out to battle here and all I need to do is sing. And they had already been doing it. It says in the 19th, right at the last of the 19th verse, they stood up to praise the Lord of God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And he hadn't done anything for them yet. The enemy is still right out there. But something has changed within them. The fear has been replaced with who God is. And now I can praise him for who he is, not for what he's done. Nothing has happened. Nothing has changed yet. And it says that they should praise the beauty of holiness. Of living for God is such a wonderful place to be in at this time when all these folks have come out against me. And I look at this, how can anything change for them? And it says that God did something. It says he set ambushments. God did something that man could not have done. Those groups came, three different groups together, to take out these folks. And God is able to do things that we could never have even thought how he could do it. And we get to read it. We get to read history over and over and over. If he wanted to do it, he could just send some hornets and they would take care of the job. And I understand how that one could be done. You can have armor, but don't have a crack in the armor, or you will dispose of the armor with a few hornets. God is almost like he relished in doing something that made man stand back and say, how could it be? He caused people to hear something in the night. The Syrian army just heard a sound There wasn't enough in the city to be able to fight them. They heard a sound and ran off and left everything that was there. These people were united when they came against the children of Israel. They were together on their plan to destroy them. But it says that now when God sets ambushments, you know what? It's good for us not even to try to figure out how God can take care of his business. Because my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his thoughts and his ways than ours. And this is an example of it. They came united, and now God sets ambushments. And how did he do it? Two of the group turned against one of the group. Now, how would you do it if yesterday you were all united and planning how the battle would be? I want to tell you something. God's got control of what he can place in a person's mind. In my mind, I think of it this way. All of a sudden, these two see this group that came with us. They're not really with us. They're plotting against us. And they go to fighting them. Said they destroyed all of them. And now the two that are left, they fight and destroy each other. Something that could not happen, except that God is able to influence something. And then these people win the battle. We're not faced with that today. But I want to tell you, we're faced with things. We will have, if everything is going well today, keep on living. There will be a time coming to your life where it's fear first. And then it's, what am I going to do about this is next. There is a song, I haven't heard it in a long time, but it is so true. When you're up against a struggle that has shattered all your dreams, every one of us have been there and will be there again. And your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested schemes. And you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears. Don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Well, what are we going to do? Praise the Lord. He will work for those who praise him. Praise the Lord. Our God inhabits praise. You know, there's scripture that tells that. Our God dwells. He loves to dwell where praise is. Our God inhabits praise. Praise the Lord. And those chains that seem to bind you, they only serve to remind you. It's just a reminder now that they will drop powerless behind you when you praise him. Thanksgiving is for what God has done for us, the victory on the other side of it, and we come back with thanksgiving. Praise brings us into a place that the battle is still just as strong as it was before. But the chains that bound me in fear can drop away. And now I start realizing who God is in this situation in my life and what he is able to do. There is power in praise. But there's one other thing that we need to look at before we close. When we have met the conditions. There are many people in the religious world today that have praise services. Let's come together and let's stir up some emotion of praise to God. I want to give you just a few scriptures. In Luke 6 and 46, Jesus says, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord?" Whether it's in a praise service or anything else, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" So I don't have to take this negative. What I need to do is say, you know what, I still have a right to praise him, but I want to make sure that I have met the conditions. Lord, all of the things that you have shown me in my life that I need to take care of, I've done those now, and I'm in the place that praise can bring a result. There's another one that I'd like to look at in Matthew. Matthew, the 15th chapter. And in the 8th verse, "This people draweth nigh to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." This tells me that just praise coming out of my mouth is not enough. There is, before they honor me They draw nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. I can say all the right things. I can sing the praise songs. But their heart is far from me. So I have some conditions to make this, to have this thing have action. You know, it talks about the kingdom of heaven is like the woman that hid a little bit of yeast in some meal, and it started working, it started permeating. Praise coming out of my life needs to be because of this that is working inside of me, and it fills all this area. So now there's no hypocrisy there. It is, Lord, I have done everything that I know to do, and now recognize who you are to help me through this problem that I'm faced with. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. My desire is when everything's going well, you know, there's a danger even then. Because when everything is going well, I don't really have a need. I don't really praise him. I don't call on him. But you know what? I need to praise him in the good times, because it'll also help me to be practiced up for when the bad times hit. Because at that time is when I really need to recognize who God is. There's one more verse in Psalms 34 and 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I don't have to just be, I got to always be speaking it. But I want to have a heart that is all the time sending up praise for who God is. Recognizing that he is well able for any situation that would come into my life. He is well able to take care of it. So let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. We're all included in that. I desire your prayers.